It's time to make it count. We give professionals the knowledge, mindset, and habits to win at work and at home. I'm Freddie Bennett, Guinness World Record holder, business owner, adventurer, and author, giving you the tools to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed. The clock is ticking, so let's go and make it count. Welcome to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. And today, folks, I have got a real treat for you. I am delighted to welcome to the Make It Count studio, Alex Falcon Huerta, founder and CEO at Soaring Falcon. Alex, I am super excited about this episode. Welcome to Make It Count.
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It is a pleasure. I know we first met at the GAP conference in Wellington towards the end of 2023. And ever since then, I have been so excited about bringing you onto the show. So I know today is going to be a supercharged, turbocharged, powerful episode. But to kick things off, Alex, for anyone that hasn't heard of yourself or your business, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Alex Falcon Huerta, founder of Soaring Falcon Accountancy. I have a digital online accountancy firm, and I niche with helping software as a service companies launch in the UK or vice versa. So lots of my clients are New Zealand, Australia, hence why I was in New Zealand and how I met Freddie. And I'm predominantly known now as like a digital nomad accountant. So get to travel the world and I love everything that I do.
And that's why, obviously, I love everything about your story, but I'm really excited about diving into that whole digital nomadic accountancy, because from the outside, it looks like you've achieved this amazing level of not only time freedom, mind freedom, and financial freedom, but also location freedom, which in many cases is the ultimate freedom. So we will dive all into that. But first, let's go back to the beginning. Was it always written in the stars for you that you'd become an accountant with your own accounting practice?
I would say no, because I think that ultimately, like, I just wanted to have a business because I wanted to travel. So, and at that stage, going back to like 16, I just wanted to have something, a skilled job that was going to be able to allow me to travel. So at the time, it was having a business or being employed. And one of the advisors actually said to me during my school times, if you become an accountant or if you learn to be an accountant, you'll save yourself a lot of money and you learn about business. And so I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll consider this route. So from 16, I volunteered in an accountancy firm and I got to learn a little bit about what it was all about and about business, about making money, about profit and loss and payroll and all this stuff. And at the time it was really interesting and I had a thirst for knowledge. And so I learned about the the ACCA, because I'm ACCA, which is equivalent to CAANZ, Association of Chartered Certified Accountants. And it was a global qualification. And if I then became an accountant, had this qualification, I can then go to Australia. So that was kind of my starting point. And then the rest is kind of history, because that was then a global passport. So that was kind of how I started and why I decided to become an accountant. Didn't realize I was ever going to have my own practice at the time. So,
and it's amazing. I love that, because we all know on the inside that it isn't the stereotypical career that everyone on the outsiders think. But it's still the case, I think, as someone who's quite fresh into the industry and fresh into their career, we think of travel and digital nomads as these people who either wake up one morning and say, I run a marketing agency now, or the people who say, I'm a life coach now, or all these things in between. But to think accountancy could be your global ticket, your passport to freedom, is a fresh and a novel idea. And it's also quite forward-looking, because I imagine that at the time, not everyone was thinking that way in terms of accounting and working so digitally.
Yeah, I guess in my mind, I plan things out a lot, this is what I want. This is my goal, my, BHAG, whatever you want. And then I work my way back. How am I going to achieve it? And so, things which were important to me is I want to travel. I want to have qualification or some skill that I can then travel and work around the world. And so ultimately, how am I going to achieve that? So if I'm in a job, they're not going to allow me to have that flexibility to be traveling whenever I not feel like it, but just in, you know, in a planned way. And so ultimately it was going to be, I then will probably need to set up my own practice or my own business so that I can have all of that. And then I had to think about the technology behind it, how I was going to achieve it, what technology do I need to implement to be able to work remotely? And that was, you know, this was probably going back 15 years. Mm. And so a lot of the stuff wasn't actually available at the time. So, you know, I was researching quite heavily on the products. And right timing, cloud products started to come out. They were becoming bigger and better and stronger. And that then, that was the enabler. So I was enabled to then create the company to be able to then work in different locations. And it didn't start off great, but it was a start to what I'm achieving today. So it's not an overnight, oh, why, by the way, I'm just going to like run off and set up a business and, you know, just go travel the world. Like I realize and recognize when I talk to people about how I do things, and it's quite in depth and I don't realize I do it because it's just become so natural.
Mm. And we will certainly dive into that digital nomadic journey, especially the bits that you say weren't great. But I'd love to unpack the transition. So you say when you had your job, you were in that accounting role, and then the realization that your future lay in creating your own practice, your own business. Was that always the plan? Was that a transition? Did you wake up one morning and just think, right, now is the time. Now's the time to take the leap. How did that all come about?
So because, again, just talking about when I was younger, I knew I wanted to eventually start up my own business. And so I worked in different roles and gained different experiences so I could understand, OK, how do I do like management accounts? How do I do business development? How do I do marketing? How do I do sales? So I pushed myself into positions that I felt really uncomfortable with and even didn't have the skill set. So I would go into accountancy jobs, but then I would say, oh, can I have a go at doing this? Or can I add this onto my role just to gain experience? And that was me ultimately just seeing, right, okay, if I'm going to have my own business, I'm going to have to do all of this stuff. So I would put myself into a situation where, okay, if I didn't have people around me and I didn't have a boss and I didn't have the support, how would I do this job? And so I would use my skills like the internet, research things to understand how to run something by myself, because actually when you do step out and you're on your own, you literally are on your own. There isn't people around you to say, oh, like sitting at midnight on the on you know, on your system saying, oh, how do I connect these two products? You have to work it out somehow. But we have tools available, we have YouTube and all sorts of things now to help us. So it's one of those things where I would just like develop in every single area. And then what happened is I would often write things down about what I want to achieve. And in 2013, like I wrote this whole idea about how my business was going to look. Mm. From 2013, it took another 2 years after that for that to manifest. Mm. And so I would then work my way through the things that I needed to do to be able to get to the point where I needed to leave the company. And so I was ticking things off the list as I went along, but I would always read back. And now I look back at that list in 2013, it was like my client avatar, my traveling, like where I wanted to be. And so that was kind of, it wasn't again an overnight thing. It was something that was I was doing as I was going along. But by the time I got to 2015, 1st of April, so coming up to 9 years,
yes,
with my business, I was then in a really strong position to be able to go off on my own. So I quit my job, and a week later, I launched Soaring Falcon.
Amazing! I love that, and I have to ask, I love it when I kind of go a bit woo woo on an accounting podcast. But in terms of, because what you were talking about the list, it sounded like you were touching on the realms of manifestation and visualization and those kinds of. Do you align or believe with that kind of approach?
Yeah, 100%. I love it.
Love it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I love it when we get a bit woo-woo with the accountants. It's amazing. But yeah, obviously, yeah. I know with the things I've done, I've had to visualize my various sort of things and the journeys that I've been on. And why do you think that? So I'm fascinated by this stuff. Why do you think that it works?
I guess for me, like when, if you, for example, like if you, when you write something down and then when you have all, like, I don't journal, but people have recommended me to journal, but when you write something down, it's almost like that's in your mind as you go along. That's like you vision it and you see it. So you then you work more towards it, and opportunities come, and then you gear yourself more towards those opportunities. So I've always read like self-development books since I was really young. And that's, again, that didn't actually come from a good place. That actually came from like having like quite a difficult childhood and like trauma and everything that you can imagine happened to me as a child. So I didn't have those people around me to help and guide me. I had to rely on myself to study, to put myself through education. So I was like, right, if I'm going to be the best I can be, how am I going to do it? So then I had to rely on the resources around me. And that came from the self-development, from meditation, from all kinds of like things that people were suggesting to me at the time. So I was relying on people around me to say, what do I want? How do I do it? And I've been independent from such a young age. And so I had to think of all these tools, or how am I going to get through? And these were the things that I could do on my own. And I can then visualize, like manifest, and things will then start to be really positive and really good. And I'm like, wow. So I managed to step out of this situation. I've come into this situation. And then the second half of my life has been incredible and amazing. So, and I'm doing all the things that I have on my list, because it was on my list. I'm not saying everything is perfectly by that list, but it's the fact that I do meditate a lot. And yeah, like you say, a bit all like woo-woo and spiritual, but I have been since like I was quite young. So that's part of me, and I'm not going to change that part, because that's the part that gets me through.
I love it. And it totally resonates with me, being, yeah, I love my self-development and personal development. And it was only when I hit rock bottom that I found it as a way to pull myself back up. But what I love about what you're saying as well is I'm probably guilty of this myself in the past. I know other people are as well. It's all very well reading the books and doing the journaling and doing the meditation, but then if you don't take the action, then you don't get what you're asking the universe for. You don't get what you're manifesting. But you're demonstrating both sides of it, the visualization, but then also that bold action taking and moving things forward, even though I imagine when it must feel quite scary.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things that my mum used to instill into myself and my brother's heads was, don't just say it, do it. And that's like, that stuck with me, because I hear people like say, oh, I wish I could do this, I want to do this. Or, and like, I'm like, well, why don't you just do it? Just take action. And so it's, don't say that you want to travel and then don't travel. Don't say that, oh, you want to buy this car and then don't make no plans to buy the car, or whatever it is that you want. It's like, if you really wanted something, you'll go out and you'll achieve it and you'll do it. But I think people generally would say, I want it, but they're not really that passionate enough to kind of get what they want. And so it is about taking action and making things happen. Sometimes it doesn't fall on your plate and things go wrong. It doesn't always go 100% right. But eventually, like, those things do come out, and those things, you can make it happen, but you have to take action on those.
Definitely. I 100% agree. And I think there's a very, I'd love to get your views on this. I think it's a very practical approach also, to, in case of, or all the accountants listening, like, oh, woo woo, this universe, that. Well, here's a practical approach. Because I find, and it takes self-discipline, but I've only started doing this again recently, but by writing down exactly what you want and the life you want to create, it should be a really easy way to understand what to say no to. Because we all know about people feeling overwhelmed and burnt out and can't say no and too much on their plate. But if people just took a step back and slowed down and said, here's my list. Does this thing that someone that I feel obligated to do, or I'm doing out of guilt, does it help me get to where I want to be? And if it doesn't, then you should really say no to it. I go through the rule of, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no, which is one of those things that's easy to say, difficult to do when you have to say no to people. But does that resonate with you at all, in terms of knowing what to say yes and no to?
Everything that you say, yeah, absolutely, Freddie. But I'm a big believer in managing your energy, not your time. And I just think, like, if I feel something that's right for me, or I think, okay, I'm going to have a positive outcome, or it's going to be, you know, a new experience or something, it's what's in it for me as well. So definitely. Yes, if it's like a, I'm not sure, then it's a definite no. Then it, if it's like the same as you, like if it's yes, it's like 100% yes. Mm. But I was going through, like I've done a lot of self-development, personal development, and there were times where I'd say no to everything. And I had to change that to saying yes to stuff, because then that then created opportunities.
Definitely.
So I was like, even if I felt uncomfortable about it, I'm like, okay, yes, I'm going to try. And then I wanted to see, how did that make me feel?
Mm.
What was I feeling after I said yes? And then I did whatever it is that they asked me to do or whatever thing. Then I wanted to go on that experience and that journey, because I wanted to recognize what my body was telling me. But was I right? Was I wrong? Because then that way you start to learn yourself more, and you start to see whether you make good decisions or bad decisions. But nothing is ever right or wrong. It's your, that is your life path. So you go with that and you learn from it. If it's gone wrong, what do I need to change? In, how do the thoughts in my head react to the things that I just did?
So
it's a whole multitude. I can go on forever about this stuff.
I'm cancelling all the accounting stuff. This is just like universe manifestation, personal development from now on. This is awesome. But yeah, you are right. And it is so that, and I think, and again, I speak from a lot of experience and learning and mistakes mainly, but we tend to stress so much. And even like the clients I work with, they're like, shall I do this or shall I do that? I'm terrified of making the wrong decision. And I say, there's no such thing as a wrong decision. You decide, and then it is the actions you take after the decision that determine whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. And then even if it all blows up in your face, then you always learn. I believe there's failure only exists in your head. There's, as long as it's not your final failure of your life, then it's not a real failure. I think all failure is psychological.
Yeah, exactly. And there's many, many things, like ups and downs, highs and lows. Life doesn't run smoothly for anyone in a 3-year set, for example.
Mm.
And it's like, what have you done? Look back and check to see your life. What's happened in those 3 years? How did you deal with it? What was your outcome of that? And how did you get through? Because you might have a rocky period for 3 months, but and it might feel like forever in that period, but it doesn't last forever.
Mm.
You know, you have many, many good times. And, you know, again, this is going back to being a kid. Like, I was homeless. And I remember speaking to the students, the counselor at the time at the college. And they just said to me, like, okay, well, it's going to be a long process, but in a couple of months time, or however long, you're going to have your own place. By the time I got my own place, and she made me recognize, look, it only took 2 months from that point to this point to get to where you are now. You've got a roof over your head and you've got your own front door. You know, you're in a safe space. So I've got all this like life learning stuff that geared me up to be life resilient. And so that was just like a small example of that. And so when things happen now in business, I might come across like I don't care. I do care. It's just that I have a different way of dealing with it and I don't stress about it. So it's okay, what are the next steps? And I put that energy into business advisory.
Quick pause to tell you something that I am so excited about. I have launched the Professional Superheroes Mastermind Group. This is where professionals work directly with me to develop the knowledge, habits, and mindset to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. There is nothing like this on the planet. It is mind-blowing how much fun this is and just how big a shift people are experiencing. We turn you into the professional superhero that you were always meant to be. If you want more information and to join, then drop me an email at hello@freddiembennett.com. That's hello@FREDDIEM for mindset, BENNETT.com. I can't wait to see you in there. Now, let's get back to the episode. Welcome back, Alex. I am absolutely loving this conversation. Much as I would love to keep riding the universal plane, to bring us back down to earth just slightly, I'd love to really dig deeper into your business journey. And I'd love to know, can you remember when you set up your own business and then the first place that you went to, the first destination you visited as a business owner trying to create this digitally nomadic business? Can you remember where you went and what was going through your mind?
Yeah, so because I had all the tech tools in place from the very beginning, from the offset, the goal was then, okay, so now I need to actually do the thing that I said I'm going to do, which was to travel. So I'm going to book a trip, and I went with a friend. Mm. Probably should have gone my own. And it got to a stage where I was like, something's gone wrong with payroll and I need to fix it. And in that trip, I was like, I'm going to have to fly home. But I didn't need to fly home. It was just, I was like, right, I need to get home because I need to fix it. And I need to be in my home, in my safe space, because I've just started this business and I needed to understand, you know, go somewhere where I feel comfortable. Like, I'm not going to be interrupting people. Again, that was just a mindset thing. So I just left and I booked my flights and I went home. And I could have just done that job, like in the location. But I perhaps could have said to that friend, by the way, do you mind if I just take a couple of days out and fix this? So it's a learning curve. And the second time I migrated from Microsoft Office to Google Drive, the same thing, like I went on a trip and the internet wasn't great. And again, I flew home because it wasn't working or it's taking a long time, rather than trying to find somewhere like co-working space or somewhere with a good internet to say, oh, do you mind if I paid for that time, do you mind if I just do this while I'm here? So it's learning things. Is everything you can do remotely, everything you can do while you're away, and doing these little trips allowed me to just like put in systems, processes, technology, communication tools with my team and myself to allow this to kind of flourish and to get bigger and to allow me to go away for a longer duration.
Well, I think, as you say, it's a really powerful lesson as well, that we think when we make a big change in life, that, you know, day one's going to be perfect. And that might be a new job, it might be moving to a new country, it might be a new relationship, new client, whatever it is. We think, you know, okay, it's black and white. There was nothing on day zero. Now it's day one. Everything works. Everything's perfect. And it's rarely like that. But the fact is that you still took the first step and you still made it to day one. So many people would stay stuck on zero, stuck on the starting blocks. Just, I'm going to wait till the perfect time or the next financial year until I've got a bigger safety net, or there's always a reason not to start, but we have to take action anyway. I think that's a testament to your journey as well, and that you kept on going and you kept coming back and going on a next trip and a next trip.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think, you know, doing the small little trips, like taking baby steps, you know, you need to make a start. Like you said, if you don't go, nothing changes. Definitely. So it's just a matter of like taking that action and just actually leaving and going and then testing the products. And then actually strengthened a lot of stuff for me in the business and with my team, because I then had to implement all the like the tools, the cloud technology to be able to run the business effectively and to be able to take care of the clients. So again, with time zones and things like that. So yeah, you have to consider quite a lot. And I guess I don't recognize the things that I do now because it's just become second nature.
I think you're right. It is that learning process. It's something that feels very alien and difficult and scary at the start, especially if, as you say, you know, we've all had those moments at our laptop just thinking, oh shit, this has gone really wrong and I don't know how to fix it. But especially if you're on your own as well. But then you develop that great mindset. I know we were talking about this offline I'll figure it out. No matter what happens, I will find a way to figure it out. I think if you could approach both life and business with that narrative, it really does help boost your confidence in all areas.
Yeah, and I think essentially that's what I've done. It's I just have that positive mindset, and it's, you know, just even like making sure whoever it might be involved in that is like keeping them positive as well. It's like, okay, no, we can get it sorted out, we can fix it. And it's just like using the tools that you've got. So, you know, you can do things from anywhere. And that is the purpose of my business, of location freedom. And I helped my clients move overseas. And, you know, they travel even more because they see my journey. And they're like, you know, ask me about the things that I've implemented. So they've implemented it into their business. And it's like, I'm not just saying what to do, I'm doing the thing that I want to do, so they see it. And I think that's quite important, because actually it's helping them to go on holiday with their families. And of course, most people don't want to work when they go on holiday, but some people, like as a business owner, they want to be more like less stressed And so if they can do the things when they're away, even if they wake up before the kids, do a couple of hours, and then they carry on with their day and enjoy their day, it just means that they're able to enjoy their location freedom too.
Definitely. And I think you're right. It is that location freedom that is the strongest of the freedoms. And I'd have to ask as well, you mentioned clients just now. How does it work in terms of getting clients? Are you always looking to increase your client base? Are you very selective about your clients? How does the whole client side of things work for you?
So for me, like, I have to be really particular with my client avatar. So I have like a whole list of things like of what is really important when I sign a client up, and making sure that we're aligned. So it works both ways. And I started off with certain clients and it didn't work because they didn't enjoy what I was doing and it wasn't fair. So it was better that they picked somebody that they felt more comfortable with, like a local accountant down the road that they can pop in and have a coffee. That wasn't going to be me. And so I needed to be really particular in the type of people that I work with. And so the best part of that is, okay, if I enjoy traveling, then it's good, great to then have a niche where I then help software companies, because I love technology, it's like one of my passions, to then help launch into the UK or vice versa. And so it means that they're overseas, so anywhere closer to that time zone, then it means I can work both time zones. I can help people in the UK and I can help people overseas. I can get them up and running and launch them off the ground. Majority of my clients are global. They have subsidiaries, so their parent company might be in the UK or in a country. And so it enables me to then help them with like finding an accountant or whatever services they need for their business. And so, again, it's about them being able to work with me no matter where I'm based. The value is in what I do as a business, not where I'm based.
I love that. And particularly also in terms of the underlying message of staying true to your values and also holding firm on your non-negotiables, because I know a lot of people, and again, myself included, who would say, I've got this goal, but I'll make an exception, or we'll lower our goals to fit our circumstances, or we'll say, I don't usually work with these clients, but I guess I should. And we always tone ourselves down. We change our beliefs, our goals, our priorities, our thoughts, our personalities to fit into a certain mold to try and keep someone happy who we probably don't actually want to work with. But I think, as you demonstrate, if you can stay true to yourself and what you want and the life that you want to create for yourself, then I imagine it can be quite tough, but also so much more rewarding.
Yeah, I guess, again, going from learnings as well from the business, is like having clients prior that they didn't match the avatar. Like you say, we all say yes to that client that you think, oh yeah, okay, sure, like I'll take them on. But then later on, you recognize that it doesn't fit to what you do. And if there are challenges with that particular client, then it makes it 10 times harder and it's quite stressful. And so therefore you recognize, okay, you should have kind of gone with not just your gut instinct, but what your client avatar is. And so, it's about making sure that they are aligned, because it doesn't necessarily work out in that way. But the ones that, for example, I do have are ones that I've had for a long time and we work really well together, and it's vice versa. And so we have really good, I have close relationships and friendships with all my clients. And you asking me before, like, am I growing the business and I taking on clients? No, I don't grow the business. I keep it very, very tight and small, because I enjoy working with my existing clients and doing different things outside of accounting, business services that will allow me to enjoy what I do as well for them, not just doing like compliance stuff. So going to New Zealand to the conference that they've created and designed and understand how they do, you know, how they do business for their company.
I think we talk about deep relationships with clients and building trust. It's one of those things that you can talk about it or you can actually do it. It's like telling a child you love them. You can either tell them you love them or you can show them that you love them. I believe it's the same for clients, probably different kind of love. But all the same, it is about actions do speak louder than words. And the fact that you live it and you demonstrate it is, you can't get a message more powerful than that. I was going to ask as well. So I'm sure there'll be thousands of people listening to this who are saying to themselves, this sounds great, I'd like to do that, or I've always had this goal to travel and make it work and with my career and my business and everything. What advice would you give to someone? You must have been asked this before. What advice would you give to someone who is saying, I would like to create this kind of lifestyle, this kind of business?
Yeah, I guess it's going back to how I started. Like, I just wrote all the things down of like where I wanted to be, how I wanted to achieve it. And then I just started off with like the small steps of, okay, so where am I now? And what is it that I need to do? So somebody might be cloud, be online, but they haven't got everything online. So they might not have, I don't know, like digital signature, for example. So then you look at the products to make it digital signature. So you look at individual parts of your business and work out what parts do you need to convert to a technology or an app or whatever it is or system that you need to change, and take those small little steps that I did, take the baby steps, go away, try, test, work remotely, find different locations that you feel safe in, and always know, not that you need to, but always know that if something goes wrong and you don't feel comfortable, you can fly back. Just keep it close and keep it local, or even do something if you're UK based, for example, maybe go away in the Highlands or something, that you're still like in the same country, but just go away for a few days and just try working remotely. So you don't need to go overseas straight away. You could just do things in your safe zone if that's what you choose. Like, I wouldn't do that, but a recommendation for people that potentially want to try something a little bit differently. And then I would, yeah, slowly work towards those. People like myself, like I consult on technology and things like that. So yeah, you can speak to people like myself, and I'm always happy to like help out with any kind of like technology or remote or digital nomad queries or questions. So get involved with the groups and reach out to Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups, nomadic groups that always have really good sound advice.
Amazing. What was there any particular lesson that you'd wish you'd known before you started on this journey, or any unexpected lesson that you learned along the way?
I guess for me, it was probably, if I would have known what I knew today, I would have done this a lot sooner.
Really?
So I've become way more confident in my choices of where I go and what I do. And so it's about, there's places like on my doorstep I haven't been to yet, and I've just started that journey this year of like, okay, I'm just going to go. And not to feel uncomfortable about making your choices, because essentially they're the ones that have opened many doors to opportunities. So those opportunities might have come sooner. And I would have like explored more of the world if I was more stronger at the beginning. So I guess it's life experiences and sharing those life experiences, and just me taking action more and saying yes, actually, to opportunity, not no. There's been many, many, many lessons in my journey. And again, I'm happy to share those, but I'm super grateful that I've got those opportunities. Appreciate that's not everybody is in this area and they can do stuff, but actually you can make those little small changes to get yourself to that position if that's what you want to do.
Definitely. And I truly imagine, because again, someone who's moved my life halfway around the world, and I saw this myself, it would have been easy to stay in planning mode forever and just saying, I need to do some more preparation and some more research and just see this project through and just do this and just do that. And I'm all for doing an appropriate amount of preparation and taking calculated risks. But sooner or later, you do have just to go. And as you say, you do have just to say yes to the opportunity and say yes to yourself as well.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, just allow yourself that at least minimum.
Once. And I have to ask as well, off the top of your head, where's been the best place you've visited should we say the most disappointing place you visited as part of your traveling?
Oh, that's so hard, because I just literally love everywhere. I guess, I mean, there are certain places that have stuck in my mind. And during COVID, like I escaped and I managed to go to Bali in the second lockdown. And I would say that would always be like the special place for me, because that gave me a home for, I don't know, during COVID, like 18 months. And I was with other nomads and people, you know, going through the same thing as I did. So I think Bali would have been like a special place. I met my dad for the first time when I was 26. And I was able to then travel recently, a couple of years ago, to Peru to see my family again. So that was, I think, the third time that I'd met him. And so I went to Machu Picchu, Cusco, like Rainbow Mountain, but I just felt so connected. I'm like, wow, this is where I'm from. You know, this is my family, like meeting them for the first time. And, you know, like, it's just all these things that just start to open. And if I wasn't able to work, or I couldn't do these like long trips, you know, if I had a job, I might have done, but I might have had to quit, for example. Yeah. And so the traveling and the location of where I decide to go, you know, it can be like family, it can be just adventure. And so it's really hard to say which is my best and like worst place, because I think I've had an amazing experience everywhere I've been. And again, that comes down to the woo-woo manifestation. So yeah, just like have a brilliant time everywhere I go.
Love that. It's a really safe answer as well, because I asked the question and I thought, oh, we have got a global audience. So hello to all of our listeners around the world. You all live in wonderful places. And but to say that, I have to ask as well, and I think it's really interesting, because I know we talked about this before we hit record, and I was saying the very stereotypical question of where's your next planned trip? And you said, didn't you, that you haven't really got a next planned trip. And tell us about that, because that feels like true freedom to me.
Yeah. So this year, people, at the back of the end of last year, when I think about, oh, what's my new year goals and what my challenge is, and my 2024 was about not having a plan. Is that a good idea? Is that not a good idea? I mean, to me, it's been the best idea ever, because also I would normally have like trips booked in. I'm going to go here. Sometimes I don't know if I'm going to stay longer or not. But this year was about opening up to opportunity and meeting new people and doing things I wouldn't normally do. So I went onto a Facebook group, wanted to go skiing, had an opportunity to go skiing in the Dolomites, for example, with co-living remote working group already. So it's not like I needed to do much homework, because it was already there. They'd already decided on, had this location. And so I then flew to Innsbruck in Austria, took a train from Austria to Italy, so to the Dolomites. And then I stayed there for, 4 or 5 days. A friend of mine from Australia, again, was in Europe. We said, oh, let's connect, let's meet up. And then again, none of this is planned at all. How can we get around Italy? So took a train from Italy. From the Dolomites to Verona. I went to see Romeo and Juliet and the Juliet balcony. Like, amazing. It was just on my bucket list. I spent a day in Verona. It was amazing. And then took the train the next day to Venice, and then, you know, spent some time in Venice, you know, on the gondolas. And on the way back, went to Treviso and I researched a little bit. It's where Prosecco and tiramisu comes from.
Amazing.
And I was like, wow, it's amazing. Yeah, so like when it's unplanned, like you do things that you wouldn't normally do, and you just do things. You, again, like you just work out location, train times, hotels, like where's a good place to stay, what's around the area, check Wiki, and like, you know, is there something interesting about that place that you wouldn't necessarily go to? So I wouldn't have thought to go to Treviso, but actually it was really beautiful, really stunning. And I really enjoyed that. So my whole year is like, well, I'm just going to go with the flow.
I love that. And there's always a hidden message in the Make It Count podcast. Usually it's very hidden. But I don't know if I ever said this in an episode before, but it's called Make It Count. And obviously it's around accounting and professional services. But I never meant it to mean make it count numerically. I meant it to mean make your life count for something, make your career count for something. I believe that we all, in the deepest parts of our soul, we want to matter, we want to belong, and we want to make our journey, our careers, our lives count for something more. And I truly think that you're the personification of that. And that's why I'm such a big fan of everything that you do and everything you will continue to do. And yeah, even though we're coming to the end of the episode now, I'd love to know quickly, you know, what is your view of the future of the industry? As I say, you're very much on the cutting edge in terms of how you run your business, the way you work, and the clients you work with. So what does the future look like, both for the industry and for yourself?
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely feel that, you know, the whole nomadic thing is going to increase and get larger in this industry, because it already is large as many, many groups now, but just not within accounting. So I've already had people reach out to me and ask me, you know, how do I do this? And they want to do the same. And, you know, for the industry, it's, you know, making, you know, there's many, many changes within the industry. And I think more and more clients are wanting to globalize. And so It's going to be really important for accountants to actually learn and understand what it's like to set up companies overseas, not just in their current country, to open up their network. And I've started to see, you know, globalization, even like awards now including International Firm of the Year and things like that. So I think it's becoming more relevant, but I feel like this area is going to become much, much more bigger. And people will probably step out of their comfort zone and start to do the things that they want to do, but also allowing personally and business to enjoy life even more so, knowing that they can have that location freedom. So it's still like really in its infancy for our industry, but I'm just excited about seeing more and more people do that so I can help and support them do the same and, yeah, have a well-balanced lifestyle.
I love it. You truly do that. And we say we always talk about the three freedoms and the freedoms that accountants can give clients and get themselves, but you truly are a freedom fighter, Alex, and that's why it's been so good talking to you. And I've just decided, with you talking about Bali and everything we're talking about, manifestation, making it happen, I've decided right now, the first Make It Count retreat, we're going to Bali. If I get six people, yeah, woohoo, if I get six people emailing me hello@freddymbennett.com. I'll put this email in the show notes. If I get six people, then we will make the retreat happen in Bali. We all know it's tax deductible. We're all accountants here. We'll make it work from that point of view. So let's make it happen. That's it. Make it on counts going on. Make it counts going on tour. We're all off to Bali and we're all going to live the life. And you will be our guest of honor, Alex. Absolutely.
Amazing.
We're coming to the end of the episode now. I've absolutely loved this conversation. We do obviously have the tradition here on Make It Count, which is the secret final question, which is where an outgoing guest gets to ask a secret question of our current guest, which obviously, Alex, is yourself. So I will pull up your secret question now from my very low-tech email where the previous guest mailed it to me. Okay, this is bloody hell. Note to guests, set me easier questions, please, because these are always tongue twisters and brain teasers. I may have to say this one a couple of times, but we will get there, not to put you on the spot. So, Alex, your secret question is, what do you believe that most other people don't believe, or vice versa? So what do you believe that most other people wouldn't believe, or vice versa? I know it's early for you and late for me as we're saying this, and probably both of our brains are fried.
No, it's absolutely fine. I believe, I always think that people think that they can't do things often, that they get stuck or they can't do something often, and they don't understand why they can't do it, because there's a reason why they can't do it. And I often believe that's not true.
No, so, I 100% agree.
Yeah, and I can't sit and say to that person, what you're saying is not true, because it's offensive. And I don't want to come across negative or unsupportive of that person. But I do genuinely believe that if you want to do something, you'll make it happen. And mine didn't happen overnight, and it's about making those baby steps. And so it is possible, and you can do it. You just need to give yourself the headspace to take action and to do it.
I love that. I couldn't have said it better myself. And what a wonderful way to finish the episode. Alex, as I said, I've loved this conversation. I'm sure people will have lots of questions for you. This episode is literally going to fly like a soaring falcon. If people want to get in touch, how do they find you?
So they can get in touch through LinkedIn. It's a good way to do that. Or my email, which is alex@soaring-falcon.co.uk. Happy to answer any questions as well, and up for the retreat. So
definitely, and I'll put those links and everything in the show notes as well, so people can add your LinkedIn and find you online. And absolutely, it's happening. I will see you in Bali, Alex, as well as the Make It Count listeners for Make It Count Live 2024. I'm making this up as I go along, and that's always the best plans. Alex, it has been a pleasure. We will definitely be getting you back for a part two. But for now, thank you so much for being part of Make It Count.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. I would love it if you could give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share this podcast with the world. I am on a mission to get professionals unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. You can join our free Make It Count community. Click the link in the show notes, and you can also follow all of my adventures on Instagram at the Freddie Bennett. Well, for now, we made it count once again. I've been Freddie Bennett, you have been amazing, and I will see you on the other side.